Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettey along with Charlie Long in studio. Steve Geller will join us at 5:45 for our triple option feature. Tell everybody at 7:10 tonight, it'll be the first Saints Hour. Jeff Nowak, Mike Hoss, will host that particular segment starting at around 7:10 tonight. At 4:20, Jeff Duncan, who's at the Saints practices, will be talking to us about what happened today at the practice sessions. And at 5:20, Jordy Collada comes on with us, and Jordy covering the LSU Fighting Tigers, and it has a lot of football talk. And Charlie, last night we had the Silver Slipper, and I mean, a lot of Saints talk, but boy, is there a lot of LSU talk out there. That you could see it's ramped up now for LSU-USC.
And Mike, the buzz about the defense. Zach Nagy came on with us yesterday, the writer for Sports Illustrated. He's just like, I'm optimistic, guys. And you know,
and I hope it's real.
And I read his report from today, day 10 of fall camp, which is already kind of hard to believe that they're already on day 10, right, Mike? But he said that they had another good day. And now, if you're looking at the defense, he's mentioned Ashton Stamps, the cornerback, is kind of the dude that's taken over as far as CB1 goes. But also, Harold Perkins had a really crazy day today, apparently, too. And the front seven's starting to grow a little bit more consistent. And that's the word that he keeps using. Can the defense be consistent in practice leading up to this opener against USC? But the early returns are positive from the defense. Mike, the rock bottom like spot that they were at last year, to be hearing some positive news about the defense, I think it's a great sign.
It wasn't on my dance card.
Oh, mine neither.
And yeah, put it to you that way. I just hope they can stay healthy because – Charlie, I still think, man, that front defensive line is paper thin. You start to get an injury or two, you got troubles. I still got to see the corner play, cornerback play, and Ashton Stamps from everybody we've talked to.
Yes.
And we'll talk to Jordy also, but I know early on, Jordy was really high on Ashton Stamps on how well he could play that corner position. And really, in today's game, boy, you need four, and just not one. Because you're going to have injuries, and you play so much at a nickel defense where you play in three corners. Certainly a lot of strong talk about the young kids in the secondary at safety. The two young freshmen, one freshman, one redshirt freshman, pushing for playing time. They can get a pass rush. It certainly will help the secondary, and that's where I think Blake has spent a lot of time. Blake Baker, the new defensive coordinator, has spent a lot of time trying to draw up things that you can get a better pass rush to affect the quarterback. And we saw it even in the Saints' first preseason game. Man, listen, Desmond Ridder's inaccurate as a passer, and he's erratic, but there were people around him every time he threw the football. And you can say, oh, well, he's poised under pressure. Well, you poised under pressure when you don't have a lot of pressure under you.
Mike, we've talked about Savion Jones, the defensive end, this heading into his senior year. Another thing that's kind of hard to believe, that he could potentially be a breakout candidate. I know we talked to Pete Jenkins about it. He's got, like, the physical tools, but Pete maybe asked a little bit too much of him last year when he was, you know, coaching along the defensive line.
Pete put you pedal to the metal.
Yeah.
I mean, he did the same thing with Mason about, hey, listen, this ain't about potential with me. You got to be productive. I think one of the things, Charlie, you bring up with Savion, and I'm glad you bring him up because, you know, I saw him in high school.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was 220 pounds when he got to LSU.
I
really don't know if he was 220. That second number might have been a one.
And now you want to know he's listed at now, Mike?
I would think he's he did tell me he's 278.
He's listed at 280, so it's basically that.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
Yeah, that's a lot of
I think he was heavier last year because we did the pro football camp at in Thibodeau. This was in mid-July, and he definitely was pushing 290, and so he's lost some weight. He's a tremendous athlete, and he's got to trust his instincts more. I think sometimes he sort of second-guesses himself on where he should be, what he should be doing. And that was the thing Pete got on him about, hey, listen, trust your instincts. You right where to go, but you too much in between the ears.
Sounds like Isaiah Foskey, Mike.
No. All I'm telling you is, as an athlete, when I watched him at St. James, he was a tremendous basketball player. If that was really what he wanted to do, he could have been a college basketball player somewhere. But you see it now. It's his year for Savion. It's his year to come through. It's the same thing with Garrett Nussmeier. This is his opportunity. I feel the same way about Caleb Jackson. This is his moment.
They call it the money year, Mike, and I agree with all three of those players that you mentioned. But one of those guys that you've also brought up to me and talked about on the defensive line that I think is going to be pretty interesting is Deshaun Womack. And what kind of can he provide? Because I know Coach Kelly's talked a little bit about him and how he played his freshman year, and now he's heading into his sophomore campaign. But like he still had to do some work in practice to see the field more often. But as far as a raw talent, Deshaun Womack's going to be an interesting player.
Yeah, and talking to Coach Jenkins about him, you know, one of the things he emphasized was, okay, when you're playing for me, you got to know what you're doing. And not just every once in a while, all the time. Or like Pete says, a good 85 to 90% of the time. He's like, you know, with Deshaun, he wasn't sure. He was guessing a lot. And he was pulling himself out of position because he wanted to make a play so bad. He's pedaled to the metal on every play. But, again, sometimes you get yourself out of position. He's immensely gifted as an edge rusher, and he's no little guy. He's a big man to get off the edge. So I think it's a growing year for him. Does he get every concept now because, you know, he plays for Kevin House? Now, all of a sudden – you know, he's in Blake Baker's defense. And does he get it? And sometimes it takes a little while for players.
Yeah.
But we saw it, you know, I brought up Cobbins yesterday. I got to see when Cobbins was at Destrehan. And he's not nearly as big as Deshaun.
No.
Man, was he a difference maker? He was in the backfield as much as any quarterback was. And we've seen him. It took him a little while to figure it out. And now he's making an impact.
Now, the interior is a little bit of a different story, right? When you're looking at Gio Paez and Jacoby and Guillory and these guys that they just got run over back in spring. But now, you know, the edge group is starting to define themselves and the cornerback group is starting to define themselves. And you know what you have in your linebacker group with Greg Penn and Harold Perkins. Like, there's pieces here. And if they start to kind of fit in, and we've been talking about, do they have the horses? Do they have the horses? If they're showing up in camp and gaining the trust of these coaches, Mike, the returns are positive, and that's obviously a good sign heading into the season.
Stay healthy. Two words.
Absolutely.
Stay healthy. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870. We'll have on with us lead columnist for the Times-Picayune, NOLA.com, Jeff Duncan, to talk to us about Saints practice today, updates, and also you can tell us a little bit about Marshawn Lattimore and some good news there to hear about Lattimore. We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTillo along with Charlie Long in studio. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, Jeff Duncan, columnist for the Times-Picayune, NOLA.com, covering the Saints. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Good to be out here in California. Finally get a chance to see the Saints in action.
There you go, and it's cool there. Man, ain't nothing cool unless you get in front of the AC here in Louisiana. So, Jeff, we've had a couple texts about it, but you can maybe enlighten us. But the news, at least, is encouraging on Marshawn Lattimore.
Yes, I think so. I mean, we're finally starting to hear some positive news towards him. I mean, you know, those hip flexor injuries, you know, can be finicky. And you don't know, I mean, a lot of these soft tissue injuries can be difficult. And also as far as, you know, getting him back on the field. I mean, we're starting to see more and more guys start to work the way out. DeMario Davis was out there today. So let's keep our fingers crossed on that.
You know, one thing with Lattimore and the hip flexor, when he had it, I talked to a friend of mine who's an orthopedic surgeon. He said, Mike, that's a 3 to 4 week injury. Minimum 3 to 4 weeks.
Yep.
And so we're not into the third week yet, but again, good news on that. Jeff, one of the things in watching the game that stuck out to me is the speed up front along the front seven when you had sort of the frontline players in there. And Willie Gay, they haven't had a linebacker that can run like him since Mark Fields. And I'm talking about sideline to sideline. He can get up the field. He can run. And the other thing, I talked to Bob about this, thinking about it over the last 20 years of the Saints. Have we ever seen a defensive tackle the size of Brian Brisset, who is that athletic? Now, I think he still has some work to be done just because of the way he's built. He comes off the line a little high and people move him around. But a guy that can get penetration inside does that well. And Chase Young's potential of what he could be if he can stay healthy. The speed difference front seven-wise was noticeable in game one against the Cardinals. I know it's preseason, but that stuck out to me.
Yeah, no, great observation, Mike. I totally agree with Brzee, as athletic as he is. When they go to that NASCAR package, and basically, let's face it, I mean, Cam Jordan at this stage of his career, and we talked to him today, I mean, he's going to be moving inside on passing downs. His days of being an edge rusher in passing situations are pretty much over. It's going to be Chase Young out there and Carl Granderson, but with Cam Jordan inside alongside Brzee, man, that's a lot of high draft picks on the first round. I mean, on the front line with the athleticism you mentioned of Willie Gay on the second level. And we know what DeMario Davis, who seems like he never drops off. Father Time has just not affected DeMario. I agree. You know, and they also, the thing about them, Mike, not only do they have the speed, but I mean, they're still very physical up front. I mean, Dennis Allen is always going to be physical in the trenches. So they don't lose the physicality with that speed, and that's a unique combination.
Your thoughts on the Justin Simmons situation? And while you bring him in, and you've got other guys that could play the position, but it seems to almost be like situational. You play when it's this down, you play when it's that down, and we sort of move some of the pieces around. Bottom line is, with Justin Simmons, it's going to come down to cash, that's what it normally comes down to when it's this late in the game. He goes visit Atlanta yesterday and again today. Your thoughts on kind of how they would use Justin, because we know one thing, he's a ball hawk. And the one thing in watching him throughout the years, Jeff, he never panics, because when things break down after a little while and the quarterback starts to kind of get around, a lot of times defensive backs panic, and the first thing they want to do is grab a receiver, and then the flag goes up. One thing with Simmons, he's very good about keeping his cool, he's calm, and he gets it. He understands sort of where the ball's going to be, and he puts himself in that position. I think the big question mark is, can they come up with a money figure good for both of them?
Yeah, I agree. I think at this point, look, Simmons is seeing the safety market kind of dry up on him. I think he had a lot higher expectations of what the market was going to be, and it's just a reality to it. And I think, not only the amount of money, but also what type of terms of a commitment, how long-term. Some teams might be looking short-term as opposed to long-term. But he's definitely would be an upgrade to whoever's playing next to Tyrann Mathieu. I think the Saints also look at that secondary and say, man, we're in pretty good shape everywhere except that one spot. Marcus Mays moved on. Jordan Howden's a guy they like, but I think they'd like to see him develop at probably the proper pace instead of throwing him right out there. And we all saw a year ago, Mike, the one area in pass coverage that this defense struggled with was tight ends.
Yep.
And right now, I'm still not 100% sure who's going to match up with the tight ends we see in this league. That position has become so valuable. There's so many good move tight ends in this league. And Justin Simmons would certainly go a long way to answering that question.
Yeah, Jeff, they're still trying to cover TJ Hockenson. But as far as the safety battle next to Tyrann, I thought that DA gave a great clip. I played it during the Sports Flash today about the quote-unquote, nobody has taken the bull by the horns and said, this is my job. He said that outside of Tyrann, that's basically what he's seen from the safety spot. Like, no one's really kind of emerged. And that was one of the spots that we're going to be keeping an eye on all throughout camp was, who's going to win that starting safety battle next to Tyrann? Was it going to be Jordan Howden? Was it going to be Jonathan Abram? And now it seems like it's still really up in the air, throwing Justin Simmons into the conversation too, if they can bring him in. But what's kind of your thoughts on that safety battle right now and kind of who has the edge?
Yeah, you know what? I think, Charlie, it's going to be by committee unless they get Simmons on board. And I don't think it's ever a good sign when you bring in a veteran like Simmons. You know they've been talking to his representatives for a while, and then you bring him in, you wine and dine him, you take him out to dinner and all this stuff, and he gets out of the building. That's never a good sign. Usually you wrap that thing up on the spot. You don't let him leave. So to me, that's a sign that the fact that he's visiting someone else, he might be trying to negotiate the Saints' offer up a little bit. That could be what's going on here. But if they don't get him on board, I think we're going to see a number of players, depending on situations, at that other spot there in their sub-packages with Abram and Howden and maybe even Harris as well, because I don't think they have one player they totally trust at that spot.
Man, if he signs with the Falcons, Jeff, it's a kick in the coconuts. I'll be honest with you.
We talked about this yesterday, yeah, Jeff. Man, Jesse Bates and Justin Simmons.
Man, that's as good a tandem as you'll find in the NFC.
Yeah, and you know, I've talked to some of my colleagues in Denver about Justin Simmons, and they just raved over him. I mean, he's been their Walter Payton, like, Man of the Year nominee, like, three or four times. He's been the local media Good Guy Award winner multiple times. He's been a multiple Pro Bowler, so he's good in every phase of being a professional football player. It's hard to believe you'd let him out of the building. But we know how Sean Payton works sometimes, right, guys?
Yeah,
I mean, he comes in and he's trying to establish a culture. And sometimes when you have a guy like Simmons that's done things one way for a long time, he's not the best guy to have in the building. And so I think Sean Payton felt like we need to move on here because this is a guy that doesn't fit what we're trying to do down the road. But it has nothing to do with him being a good player or not. He's certainly still a very good player.
Jeff, the good and the bad on the offense. Okay, good. And watching Taliese Fuaga, man, I was impressed with him. But first of all, I know how difficult it is. When you've played right tackle most of your life and then they swing you to left tackle, and you sort of got to learn your body adjustment skills, your leverage is a little bit different, how you kind of hand placement guys is different. I was impressed with him in game one, okay? It's just a short look at him, but you could see he gets it, and technically he really gets it, that you understand that he understands how to play this position. On the negative side, this team has a big hole at left guard and a big hole at right tackle. I've seen no real improvement in Trevor Penning. No matter what, left tackle, right tackle, he's still off balance. His hand placement skills, his body adjustment, his leverage isn't good at left guard. I think you wanted to give it to Saul Devery. You wanted him to be the guy. Now he's hurt again. And who knows, he may not even play in the preseason at all. You got Lucas Patrick come in, and he had his moments, but he got beat too. Jeff, those two spots for me, when you look at it, left guard, right tackle, big holes for this football team. The good news is I'm not as worried as maybe I was earlier on Fuaga. I see how well he is and how good he is as a technician. I was impressed with him in game one.
Mike, I think he might already be, if not their best offensive lineman, at least their second best behind Eric McCoy. I agree with you. I think they're fine at left tackle. I think he's going to probably have a few growing pains. Most young tackles will. Yeah. But you can see the talent and you can see the mental makeup. The guy, like you said, he just gets it from a professional perspective. So I think they're fine there, but 100% in agreement with you on Penning. You know, he doesn't quite understand fundamentally how to have his base. As yep. you know, you've got to be able to play with kind of a staggered base and keep your balance. And for whatever reason, he cannot, when he gets into live action, cannot translate that to his technique and fundamentals. And we all know this, guys. In the NFL, they all see that on tape, and they will ruthlessly attack you. And it's going to force the Saints' offensive staff to give him help. And that means either a running back or a tight end like they had to do a year ago, and that limits your offense. So they've got a problem at right tackle. And I don't know what plan B is, because I'm sure at one time they thought maybe Ryan Ramczyk would be the answer there. But clearly right now you're not going to find probably a top answer on the street at this point. It's just very difficult to find that position.
The left guard spot, too, and bring it up, because you traded up in round four for Saul Devery. You see, he, similar to Ramczyk, in that he's got immense talent, Okay, he is a very talented guy, but he can't stay healthy. That happened to Ramczyk late in his career, not early in his career. Now this is almost back-to-back sort of fall drills that he's missed such a big part of, and you're not getting your reps. You're not getting what you really need at this stage, and that's playing time. Because once you start the season, man, people can say what they want. The veterans, they know how to take that valve a little bit and open it up when it comes to the regular season and get after you. And they know every little negative you have. Lucas Patrick, seasoned veteran, but again, is a guy too that, you know, it was a reason why, you know, he wasn't highly sought after by a number of teams. He's a solid player, but that left guard spot, and you got the rookie at left tackle, you know, it's kind of pick where you're going to kind of choose where you're going to attack this team, and that's not good for what I think this team needs to do. They need to run the football better. If they don't do that, you're stuck in neutral on offense.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's the game plan that Dennis Allen wants. That's why he brought in Clint Kubiak. They want to be a run-first offense, and you cannot do it if you have that many holes up front. I agree with you on Saldivari. It's a huge disappointment, especially a calf injury, Mike. you know how much you have to use, you know, your calves in offensive line work. I mean, to be able to leverage, that's a very tricky injury that could carry on for a while. And Dennis Allen even said so today. I mean, this is one of those more severe injuries, soft tissue injuries. So there's just not a lot of answers, I think, at this point, unless you want to try and throw a Hail Mary and try and get James Hurst to come out of retirement and come back. And I wouldn't surprise me if they made that call.
Yeah, I think he's comfortable with Fletcher, though. I mean, he ain't getting hit out there doing that. At the quarterback position, the backup spot, so, man, we saw Haener. And what I liked about both young quarterbacks, under the pressure, at the end of the second quarter and the end of the fourth quarter, you needed to make plays, get yourself in a position to score. Both of them were able to do it. And I think the gap between Haener and Rattler, which I thought that was a pretty good-sized gap to start training camp, not there anymore. And Spencer, you know, people kind of forget maybe a little bit. He was either the number one or number two rated recruit in the country when he came out of high school. Started as a redshirt freshman at Oklahoma, and he seemed so poised under pressure. And it was like, man, no sweat. Yeah, I made a couple of throws I shouldn't have made, but, man, I'll take you there. He's got that sort of it factor. Somewhere down the line, you know he's going to get his chance. But I was really impressed with both Jake Haener and Spencer, how they handled pressure situations. They're not going to get this type of thing unless – you know, Derek Carr goes down to an injury. So you got to get your reps and your playing time in preseason.
Yeah, and both of them handled that. You know, you mentioned the two-minute situational work very well, especially considering they were kind of difficult two-minute situations. Neither one of them was really very advantageous for the offense, and both of them came through in the clutch, and they just kind of carry themselves with the proper body language and the demeanor that you want to see out of that position. I think both of them have really strong intangibles, which I know at that position more than others, you've got to have confidence so that everyone in that huddle looks at you in the eye and understands you're in charge. And I think both of them have that. So I actually think at one time I thought, boy, I don't know if they've got a backup quarterback they feel comfortable with going into the season. And the more I see out of these two, the more I think they might just roll the dice, even though neither one of them is proven in the NFL. But, you know, the talent is there that they could probably go into the season with this 3-deep depth chart, knowing you've also got Taysom Hill in your back pocket as a luxury item if you need to call on him.
Absolutely. The last question for you. Charlie Smith as the kicker. Okay, you think, okay, this is the first time he's ever kicked, you know, football. American football, so to speak, in a game. And he got a little bit of pressure on him on this spot, okay? You got to hit this to win it. From what you've seen in training camp and in the game itself, this is the type of player, even if Groupie beats him out, which I think he's got the edge right at this point, if he beats him out, he's a guy I'm keeping on the practice squad, because I really think somewhere down the line he can be a one of the 32 place kickers in the NFL.
I think you got the exact game plan that the Saints want to employ. Remember how they did this with Blake Gillikin a few years ago as a punter and kind of redshirted him, if you will? I think the same thing will hold true, especially when you consider the lack of experience Charlie Smith has. I mean, he hasn't kicked, like you said, in American football. So just look at the potential. He certainly has a cannon of a leg. I mean, I've seen him make field goals in practice from 60-plus yards that would have been good from over 70. He's definitely got he's a weapon with that leg, but he's not nearly as accurate as I think Dennis Allen or anybody feels comfortable with right now. So a year on the sidelines with Darren Rizzi and that Saints special team staff, and then I think you might have something a year from now. And he could, if he doesn't kick here, somewhere around the league, someone might take a shot at him, because he's certainly got the talent to kick in this league.
Listen, I got question marks along the offensive line. One area I don't have question marks, special teams. Man, Darren Rizzi and what Galliano does also. They do a great job on special teams, and the units as a whole are so well coached. And, man, that's a big positive for the Saints, because, Jeff, we all know all these games are going to come down to the end. It's going to be close, and you're going to need either a game-winning kick, maybe a big return, maybe that ace punt to pin somebody back. Got a lot of respect for what Darren Rizzi does in this business.
It's also why I'm not worried about the new kickoff rules, Jeff.
Yeah, well, guys, look, this team is built like the Jim Mora Dome Patrol team. That's how they're built. That's the way Dennis Allen wants to win games. And to do that, you better be good in the kicking game. They had the best of all time in Morton Anderson back then. And you got to be good in place kicks and in punting and coverage units. And I think they got it locked down with Darren Rizzi in charge.
Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate your great insights, bud. Thank you so much.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Jeff. Hey,
Jeff Duncan, columnist for the Times-Picayune, NOLA.com. Interesting kind of breakdowns of what he sees in practice. And I do think Smith's going to get his chance one day in the NFL.
I agree.
He's going to get his shot one day somewhere in the NFL. If not with the Saints, somewhere else. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettay along with Charlie Long in studio. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. Got James waiting. James, in the huddle with Mike and Charlie.
Guys, okay, I think you know this. Drew said something to you guys on air that was prophetic. That was me talking, basically. That's how I took it. He basically said, Taysom needs more snaps. And, you know, come on. I mean, we don't have any weapons right now. If you're game planning against us, who are we trying to stop? I mean, let's be honest. Alave's nice. He's okay. But I'm in a grocery store. I hope you guys can hear me. He's okay, but the third wide was the third corner shut him down. What's the kid's name? Number one, he shut him down during practice. So, you know, basically, I think we need to give Taysom the ball more, because if we're going to emulate a running game, because none of the running backs impress me right now. I mean, none of them.
And then Alvin, we haven't even brought that up, James. Alvin missed practice today with quote-unquote back tightness.
And he's had that before.
Yes.
He's had that before.
And Jamal didn't have a great debut against Arizona either, and Kendra Miller still hasn't practiced since going out, like, literally day one of training camp with a hamstring injury. So, yeah, the running back room is a huge question mark. As far as Olave goes, that's who you're game planning for.
James.
Even if he's not necessarily, like, the biggest dude in the world, like, that's the weapon on the Saints offense right now.
It was so funny while we had the pickleball tournament and Bobby's asking him questions about Derek Carr and Kamara and the receiving core. And I'm thinking, if I got to get a question in on offense. And I asked him about Taysom Hill. And so as I'm explaining, I can see in his eyes, man, he had the quote, hey, we got to live in a world where he takes 10 to 12 snaps each game at quarterback. And he brought up, okay, if you're a defense and he comes into the game, you're not sure exactly where he's going to line up. And if you snap it quickly, You catching the defense off balance. You're not real sure if he's going to line up at quarterback, at running back, at H-back, at wide receiver. That little bit of, I don't know, and you can see it in defenses. And even when they know, when he runs that power play at quarterback, ain't a lot of teams stopping it. So I think what Drew is basically was trying to say, hey, listen, you got to find a dozen plays each game that he comes in and the defense has no clue where he's going to end up. Man, this ain't high school football. You're not playing football in your backyard. There's a lot of indecision. You catch one guy not knowing, and you got a big hole that you can run through or let him throw the ball downfield. I think that would catch the defense by surprise more than anything, because they're expecting him to run it and you throw it downfield. I think what Drew brought up was a great point, and it's something I'm interested to see how Clint Kubiak uses Taysom, and they're not going to show you any of that. I wouldn't show you nothing
in preseason,
nothing. But during the regular season, man, I'm going to showcase Taysom.
So the word that Drew used was terrifying, right? Yep. Like, that was terrifying for defensive coordinators. It keeps them up at night with how they're going to be able to stop Taysom Hill if he's getting that many touches a game, especially at the quarterback position. I think it's an interesting one, and it's a great question, James. Like, who are defensive coordinators game planning to stop on this offense? Because right now, you know, when we talked with Brian Baldinger a couple weeks back, you know, he mentioned specifically Chris Olave, right? A guy that you could look down and then look back up, and at the end of the season, he ends up with like 150 targets. That's the type of season you could potentially expect.
But who scares you? Who scares you on that team? Taysom? Rashid Shaheed because of his speed.
Correct.
Those are the guys, Charlie. They scare you. They keep you up at night. Because you see cornerbacks, when they're up against Shaheed, man, they in a quick backpedal. They know they're going deep on him.
It's great that Shaheed's back at practice, because, Mike, we've also mentioned this multiple times, that when everyone's expecting that Olave is going to take that year three leap, it's also year three for Rashid Shaheed. And now, what is the jump for him? Because he was around 400 yards his rookie year, is around 700 his second year. Can he kind of make that jump to close to being a 1,000-yard receiver as the team's wide receiver too? That's success. If you're looking at the question of what does success look like for Rashid Shaheed, I think it's that. And if he keeps up the yards per catch, obviously, that's going to be big as well. If he's still prolific in the return game, like, he can also be one of those weapons, like you were mentioning, alongside Taysom Hill, that keeps defensive coordinators up at night.
One of the defensive coordinators that came to the Louisiana line camp, he brought up to me, you know, one of the things he said, you know, and I'm not an offensive coach, but he said, Mike, this is what I would do. I would run Shaheed because I know that cornerback is in a quick back pedal on a deep pattern, and I'd run somebody in that open spot and just hit him out in the flat. And it's one-on-one because now Shaheed has cleared that area for you. He's cleared it out. Man, throw it if it's to the tight end or to the back, and he's one-on-one. That's one tackle to break, and you're out into the open field.
Speed kills, Mike. That's what they always say.
And Shaheed got it.
He's got it in spades. So.
And I'll be honest with you, Taysom, man, you don't think he's as fast as he is until he takes off. Man, Taysom got some speed with him. So those are the two guys. Now, Kamara, the thing about it is that, man, if you're going to put people in the line of scrimmage, he's going to see a team pitcher defensively every time you snap the ball and you pitch it to him. I don't know if your offensive line can block for him. But, man, Shaheed, that's a different story because the rotation coverage is going to be much more toward Chris Olave's side of the field. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Finishing up here on our number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike T, along with Charlie Long at 520. We'll have Jordy Collada, host of the Jordy Collada Show, and talking LSU Tigers and what's happening in fall drills in Baton Rouge for the Tigers. And early reports, at least, defense has shown up better than maybe we would have anticipated. Also, a lot more Saints talk. And again, at 7 o'clock, it'll be the Saints Hour with Mike Hawes, Jeff Nowak, and they'll also be interviewing Lance Moore and Scott Shantley in that hour. We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this news break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettay along with Charlie Long in studio. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Got James waiting. James in the huddle with Mike and Charlie.
Guys, okay, I think you know this. Drew said something to you guys on air that was prophetic. Like, that was me talking, basically. That's how I took it. He basically said, Taysom needs more snaps. And, you know, come on. I mean, we don't have any weapons right now. If you're game planning against us, who are we trying to stop? I mean, let's be honest. Alave's nice. He's okay. But I'm in a grocery store. I hope you guys can hear me. He's okay, but the third wide, the third corner shut him down. What's the kid's name? The number one? He shut him down during practice. So, you know, basically, I think we need to give Taysom the ball more, because if we're going to emulate a running game, because none of the running backs impress me right now. I mean, none of them.
And then Alvin, we haven't even brought that up, James. Alvin missed practice today with quote-unquote back tightness.
And he's had that before.
Yes.
He's had that before.
And Jamal didn't have a great debut against Arizona either, and Kendra Miller still hasn't practiced since going out, like, literally day one of training camp with a hamstring injury. So, yeah, the running back room is a huge question mark. As far as Olave goes, that's who you're game planning for.
James.
Even if he's not necessarily, like, the biggest dude in the world, like, that's the weapon on the Saints offense right now.
It was so funny while we had the pickleball tournament and Bobby's asking him questions about Derek Carr and Kamara and the receiving core. And I'm thinking, if I got to get a question in on offense. And I asked him about Taysom Hill. And so as I'm explaining, I can see in his eyes, man, he had the quote. Hey, we got to live in a world where he takes 10 to 12 snaps each game at quarterback. And he brought up, okay, if you a defense and he comes into the game, you're not sure exactly where he's going to line up. And if you snap it quickly, you're catching the defense off balance. You're not real sure if he's going to line up at quarterback, at running back, at H-back, at wide receiver. That little bit of, I don't know, and you can see it in defenses. And even when they know, when he runs that power play at quarterback, ain't a lot of teams stopping it. So I think what Drew is basically was trying to say, hey, listen, you got to find a dozen plays each game that he comes in and the defense has no clue where he's going to end up. Man, this ain't high school football. You're not playing football in your backyard. There's a lot of indecision. You catch one guy not knowing, and you got a big hole that you can run through or let him throw the ball downfield. I think that would catch the defense by surprise more than anything, because they're expecting him to run it, and you throw it downfield. I think what Drew brought up was a great point, and it's something I'm interested to see how Clint Kubiak uses Taysom, and they're not going to show you any of that. I wouldn't show you nothing
in
preseason, nothing. But in the regular season, man, I'm going to showcase Taysom.
So the word that Drew used was terrifying, right? Yep. Like, that was terrifying for defensive coordinators. It keeps them up at night with how they're going to be able to stop Taysom Hill if he's getting that many touches a game, especially at the quarterback position. I think it's an interesting one, and it's a great question, James. Like, who are defensive coordinators game planning to stop on this offense? Because right now, you know, when we talked with Brian Baldinger a couple weeks back, you know, he mentioned specifically Chris Olave, right? A guy that you could look down and then look back up, and at the end of the season, he ends up with like 150 targets. That's the type of season you could potentially expect.
But who scares you? Who scares you on that team? Taysom? Rashid Shaheed because of his speed.
Correct.
Those are the guys, Charlie. They scare you. They keep you up at night. Because you see cornerbacks, when they're up against Shaheed, man, they're in a quick backpedal. They know they're going deep on him.
It's great that Shaheed's back at practice, because, Mike, we've also mentioned this multiple times, that when everyone's expecting that Olave is going to take that year three leap, it's also year three for Rashid Shaheed. And now, what is the jump for him? Because he was around 400 yards his rookie year, is around 700 his second year. Can he kind of make that jump to close to being a 1,000-yard receiver as the team's wide receiver too? That's success. If you're looking at the question of what does success look like for Rashid Shaheed, I think it's that. And if he keeps up the yards per catch, obviously, that's going to be big as well. If he's still prolific in the return game, like, he can also be one of those weapons, like you were mentioning, alongside Taysom Hill, that keeps defensive coordinators up at night.
One of the defensive coordinators that came to the Louisiana line camp, he brought up to me, you know, one of the things he said, you know, and I'm not an offensive coach, but he said, Mike, this is what I would do. I would run Shaheed because I know that cornerback is in a quick back pedal on a deep pattern, and I'd run somebody in that open spot and just hit him out in the flat. And it's one-on-one because now Shaheed has cleared that area for you. He's cleared it out. Man, throw it if it's to the tight end or to the back, and he's one-on-one. That's one tackle to break, and you're out into the open field.
Speed kills, Mike. That's what they always
and
say.
Shaheed got it.
He's got it in spades. So.
And I'll be honest with you, Taysom, man, you don't think he's as fast as he is until he takes off. Man, Taysom got some speed with him. So those are the two guys. Now, Kamara, the thing about it is that, man, if you're going to put people on the line of scrimmage, he's going to see a team pitcher defensively every time you snap the ball and you pitch it to him. I don't know if your offensive line can block for him. But, man, Shaheed, that's a different story because the rotation coverage is going to be much more toward Chris Olave's side of the field. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Finishing up here on our number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike T, along with Charlie Long at 520. We'll have Jordy Collada, host of the Jordy Collada Show, and talking LSU Tigers and what's happening in fall drills in Baton Rouge for the Tigers. And early reports, at least, defense has shown up better than maybe we would have anticipated. Also, a lot more Saints talk. And again, at 7 o'clock, it'll be the Saints Hour with Mike Hawes, Jeff Nowak, and they'll also be interviewing Lance Moore and Scott Shantley in that hour. We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this news break.